Well, it's time for another day of news.
It is. It's Wednesday, Tuesday the 10th, or Wednesday the 10th, not Tuesday the 10th.
It's July 10th, 2019.
Yes.
And of course, the first thing that we have to talk about today is Elizabeth Warren.
What was that face? Elizabeth Warren accuses advisory panel for FCC of corruption. Okay.
Welcome to... But it's terrible, though, because it's like...
Look at her poster down here.
Ajit Pai must explain the extent to which the CSRIC may be influenced by corporations.
Break up big tech. I think we'll see this a lot from a lot of different candidates.
A lot
of them will be focusing on the tech issues this year.
This feels a lot more like just... something to get attention and not actually genuine concern...
Like when she promised to get rid of all the student loan debt, just forgive it all. I just paid mine off.
Oops.
Oh, no, but it hurts so bad, but it was also like, you know that scene at the end of Lord of the Rings where like Frodo drops the ring into the fire and he goes, he's like, it's over. It's done. That's how it felt when I paid it off. Yeah. It'll be paid off officially like in a few weeks, but...
Now you'll have to start investing in things and watch your retirement nest egg grow, and it'll be like the opposite of that where it's... Like, you literally turn into Gollum.
Yeah, well, we're going to be trying to save for a house here shortly, but...
My precious.
I don't know.
I'll have no debt going into the marriage, which is what I wanted, so...
Speaking of things that are not precious at all, it's like, it's sort of crazy. Things are getting crazy in the UK because they're doing the face recognition thing, and 81% of suspects flagged by the Met's police facial recognition technology are innocent. An independent report says, this is Sky News. But, like, half the response from the police force is, like, this is overly negative and it's overblown. And it's actually only, like, 1% are false positives. But then you try to look at how the police department is
determining
that. And then it's like, ooh.
And how many resources are spent chasing possible false positives? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of truthiness in this particular article. But it also talks about how in this particular borough, how did the people of the borough give consent to be able to do this, and there's not a really good explanation for that.
Answer, like, they didn't.
Yeah, it's like, people would want this, and then finally the police force is like, well, I think people would want us to use new technology to pursue criminals, but the problem is that this is just going to be around in a database forever.
And you might not be a criminal, but...
Like, what if you have an unpopular
opinion? You still have
opinion?
A face, and you're still out there.
At some point, this database will be used to search for people that just have an unpopular opinion.
Which relates to another story in this section we'll get to later. Are you trying to remember which one it is?
No.
Samsung in hot water over splashy Australian phone ads. I didn't even segue into that.
Yeah, so what happened here was Samsung was advertising that their phones were waterproof. And so people used their phones in salt water, which ended badly. So you can kind of see, it's like, oh, you run it under the sink and then everything is good.
It's fine.
But if you actually go to the beach or something... Not so much. Cause
I assume the salt crusts up when it dries and then causes issues.
Also conducts electricity.
Ooh, so, didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a problem. Sorry, Samsung. They're probably going to have to pay a fine or fix some phones or something. This is in Australia.
I guess if you're advertising it, yeah, because that would be a feature. Like, you'd have to clarify, like, don't put in salt water. I would think that you wouldn't want to get your phone wet. Like, I went to the pool recently and, like, put my phone in a baggie, but...
Yeah, maybe just
I'm a little paranoid, so...
The phone is, like, splash-proof.
Yeah, that would probably be a better way.
And a little bit rain-proof, but
don't submerge it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't yeet it into the ocean.
I didn't yeet it into the ocean, but I did dab it into the ocean.
I used the word yeet with a 3-year-old today at church. He was like, he picked up a ball from like the 2-year-old room that one of the kids had thrown over the gate. And he was like, what do I do with it? And I was like, just yeet it back over there. And I was like, I probably shouldn't say that slang. It probably means something else. I don't know.
Speaking of things that shouldn't something something, the hacker who launched a DDoS attack on Sony, EA, and Steam gets 27 months in prison. If you're having trouble remembering that, that was from like 10 years ago.
I was going to say, did we ever cover this? Like, they just went with the generic troll face for the picture.
That's the guy's handle. It was like...
Everyone uses the troll face, or did.
Derp trolling was the guy's handle. So,
it's very internet 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's going 27 months in prison, and it's been in the court system forever. It seems a little excessive, but not as excessive as I've seen. I mean, sometimes some of these prison sentences are like 10 years, and it's like, you what?
So. Speaking of really long sentences,
An engineer is facing 219 years in prison for smuggling U.S. military chips to China. These particular microchips have to do with, like, high-energy microwave stuff. And he, I guess, involved somebody else in his conspiracy. And that person was like, no, this is everything that happened. So the authorities are being relatively lenient on the other person. But this guy gets the full blame. And he's facing up to 219 years in prison. Sort of scary.
Whew.
It's like, oh, we just need to get this to China. They were
hoping, federal prison.
Yeah, they were hoping that the these high-energy microwave chips would have applications in the commercial and industrial, like, military sector in China. But this is literally just espionage. So, yeah. Amazon can be liable for third-party seller products, according to a U.S. appeals court. Which is exciting, because I've ordered a lot of stuff from Amazon, and we've, like, HDMI cables and DisplayPort cables. A lot of counterfeit cables on Amazon.
A lot of garbage from third-party sellers. You have to really check out the reviews before you order.
Yeah. So I think that this is probably going to change everything. And I think this is probably going to really negatively impact mom-and-pop sellers on Amazon as well. Amazon is probably going to make a lot of really onerous things that people have to comply with that only if you're really willing to scam people would you be able to comply with everything that Amazon will insist on.
You think this will, like, cause a small uptick in, like, eBay sales?
Like people, everybody will go back to eBay?
Yeah. Like all the mom and pop stores?
It's possible. I mean, Amazon already makes it, like, to sell products on Amazon, it's already, like, they want you to ship stuff and deal with customer stuff so quickly that it's just, like, super annoying.
I have a client who does some stuff on Amazon, and, like,
it's always just terrible.
Yeah, every time she's like, how does this work? And I'm like,
you might warn them, it's about to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that Amazon will overreact to this and use it as an excuse to push through something that is wildly unpopular.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity.
Just like the opportunity they have with the second age stories for Lord of the Rings, but they may flounder it.
That's not a segue into our next story.
It's not. It's just me ranting.
ZDNet says that D-Link, the router maker, they're going to undergo security audits for 10 years as part of an FTC settlement. So,
which is kind of like, shouldn't they be doing that anyway? But
they made routers and other home gear that would show up on your home network, but they were so insecure that it turned into a big mess for a lot of people. So the FTC has said, all right, your consumer products are going to have to be independently audited by security auditors for the next 10 years, which I'm not sure if that's reasonable or not. I wonder. So, like, we have the FCC and we have the, like, CE Consumer Electronics, and we have a lot of other certifying agencies. So, like, when you buy an electrical appliance and plug it in, it doesn't, like, burn your house down. So I wonder if we're going to have that for the Internet of Things devices. Like, it meets certain basic security needs. Because, like, those Samsung smart fridges.
Yeah.
That is just a disaster from a security standpoint.
Well, the thing with, like, electrical is that, you know, that doesn't make huge leaps and bounds, I wouldn't think, like, rapidly, whereas, like, security stuff, you know, you do one thing and it's outdated, like, 3 days later, so...
It turns out
how could you possibly regulate that effectively?
It turns out if you have an original Edison electric light bulb and you screw it into a modern socket, it'll work just fine.
I mean, there might be a higher chance of, you know, issues with it, but, like, it'll work, but, like, you know, the security side, it's like, I don't know, like, how quickly can you get stuff patched. And
whereas if I plug in that RJ45 token ring adapter to my gigabit Ethernet switch, probably going to destroy the switch.
It's also the knob and tube wiring in this. We don't have any knob and tube left.
Not anymore.
There was a lot of that for a long time.
Miles and miles of it, as it turns out. That's all gone. That's why you see some of the brick behind and beside me.
I mean, partly because it looks cool, and we decided that was an aesthetic choice, but also...
Neat.
Lots of bad wiring.
But yeah, D-Link's going to get audited. Speaking of audits and blacklists and lions and tigers and bears...
Oh my. U.S. government staff told to treat Huawei as blacklisted.
So, Huawei's not re-blacklisted. Like, you and me
I was confused
buy
by
Huawei
that.
Laptops, yeah. But government officials? Nope.
I mean, I think that's fair. I was confused when I first read the headline. I was like, wait, they were blacklisted, now they aren't, and, like, we're just treating them like they are, but we're not, like, officially giving them that title, but no, it's just if you work for the government.
So you can do business with Huawei, but you're supposed to be on guard. It's like, did they pack your luggage for you? Did they give you any meals or anything?
Like, they poison your drink, like...
But, and so it's like we always talk about, like, the smoking gun. It's like, where's the link? You know, how is Huawei actually an intelligence organization. Well, the Telegraph has this article.
Huawei staff CVs reveal alleged links to Chinese intelligence agencies.
This is a lot of fun because if you go through, like, there's apparently a Chinese website, like LinkedIn.
I was going to say, what a bizarre trail to go down. It's like, let me look at all these people's CVs.
It's like, you look at the resume, and it's like, oh, currently employed by the Chinese military in the Signals Intelligence Division, and also very high-level engineer for Huawei.
Wait.
And it's like, wait a minute. And it's not even like, used to work in the intelligence organization and now works for Huawei. Because we get that revolving door in our industry as well. I mean, I'm sure that if you look through the people that currently work for Cisco that have their resumes on LinkedIn, I'm sure that you'll find a lot that have a military background or that were in the Army or the Navy or the Marines or something like that. But theoretically, they're not still working for the intelligence organization or the Army or the Navy or the Marines at the time that they're working for Cisco or another company. So I take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, but overall, this is the first real piece of evidence that I've seen that this type of thing merits more consideration.
That's so funny that someone found that, though. Like, I'm imagining they have an intelligence agency, and, like, just some jerk like me is just sitting at their desk, like, creeping on people, and is like, oh, that's interesting, and they just send that up to a higher-up. And
what's really interesting about this is that it wasn't just one person. There's actually quite a few people that are, and it seems to be, like, a cultural thing, too. It's like, I'm very proud of working for the intelligence apparatus and Huawei. It's like,
I mean,
I guess.
Two large operations, I imagine that's probably prestigious.
Speaking of the intelligence apparatus, China is forcing tourists to install text-stealing malware at its border. So,
this is a big story. I saw this all over the place last week.
Somebody went to a particular province, China, I guess, and it was like, hey, that's weird. They put some crap on my phone. So they gave it to a researcher who then traveled there and also got the same malware put on their phone. And then it's been uploaded to GitHub, and it's also been added to a blacklist that some security software uses. So depending on what security software you use on Android, if you use security software at all, it'll scan for this. But this particular malware looked for about 70,000 different blacklisted files in your device and would also upload your calendar and your text messages and that kind of thing to a central database. So
spooky.
Yeah, if you ever travel internationally, travel with a different cell phone. That's what I do.
Though initially not because of that, right? Wasn't it more just like, my plan doesn't work over here?
Yeah, well, that too.
but also now, because of this.
Florida man has been fired. No, the CDNet really missed an opportunity to
start
this. They
really did.
It's like, so Florida City has fired an IT employee after paying a ransom demand last week. So this article talks about problems in several cities in Florida, where they've had their entire city IT network encrypted, and they're paying upwards of $600,000, that's 65 Bitcoin.
It seems to be happening a ton, like, yeah, in cities all over the U.S.
And the cities, like, they don't have backups, or the backups also get encrypted, and so it just ends up being a huge mess. So the IT guy has been fired, because obviously it's entirely the IT guy's fault.
I sense a little bit of repressed bitterness.
It's like, I want to help you. And it's like, okay, yes, let's do this together. And it's like, I'm not willing to make any changes in how things work.
Well, do you think it was just like one guy too for like a whole city?
Oh, that would be funny because it's like one.
They're like, don't worry, we got rid of the problem. We got rid of the only guy who knew anything about how all this stuff was set up. It'll be perfect now.
Oh, it's what a terrible mess.
You never fire the IT Gandalf.
Yeah. If you haven't heard of deepfakes, well, you should because you should watch this program. Deepfake revenge porn distribution is now a crime in Virginia. So if you use deepfakes to create porn of somebody and distribute it, that is a criminal offense now. You can still create it, you just can't distribute it.
So I did a little bit of Googling about this, not with the deepfake part, but I was like, I wonder if revenge porn and stuff like that, is that illegal in Kentucky? It is, and it's been illegal for about a year. And then I was like, let's see if it's illegal in Alabama. Let's see if they keep taking the heat off us. It's been illegal for 2 years in Alabama, so they actually beat us there.
They made us
look bad.
No.
But I don't think we have any rules about deepfake. I think maybe Virginia is one of the first states to do that.
It's not real. So.
Well.
But it's only...
Either way, crappy thing to do to someone.
It's only the distribution. You can still make it. You just can't distribute it.
still weird, but...
Still very weird. Reuters has this exclusive, which is...
Google appears to have leveraged Android dominance, India antitrust watchdog.
So there's a watchdog in India that is saying that Google has abused its Android mobile operating system to prevent mobile operators in India from customizing Android in certain ways, or bundling applications or doing that kind of thing. I don't know. There's not enough information here to really tell if Google was trying to prevent them from putting crapware. So like here in America, like Verizon, for example. We'll pick on Verizon.
Because why not?
They're awful. They'll put on like the NFL Sunday Ticket and like Facebook and about 20 other completely garbage applications on their phones, and presumably they're getting paid for that. And if you go to try to uninstall them, they don't uninstall. And if you go to try to remove them or shut them down, they don't really, like, they're still there. And so this is tolerated by Google on Android. But if you go beyond that, then and Google starts to say, no, you're ruining the Android experience, we're not going to do that. And so it's not clear if in India they were trying to bundle applications that would ruin the Android experience, or if it was like the Facebook NFL Sunday Ticket nonsense.
Ugh.
Yeah, pretty
stupid
much.
Stupid app.
Yeah, it's really just... Ugh. King's College. King's College in London breached GDPR by sharing a list of activist students with cops.
This is the segue I was thinking of earlier.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, some students and one faculty member ended up on a list where it was like, the Queen is going to open up this thing and we need it to be secure. And so the college shared student and professor info with the police, who then said, well, we want to make sure these people don't have access to this. They weren't suspected of a crime or anything like that. They never really clarified. But it's against GDPR to share student and faculty info. And so the college has said, oh yeah, whoops.
Oops, too late now.
It's a really interesting situation. There's actually a lot more details going on there and a lot of subtlety. And it's like, I don't understand some aspects of it because of like, oh, the Queen's involved, and like the Queen's going to do this, and it's like, well, these people weren't suspected of wrongdoing. Are they on a list, or did you get some intelligence? Like, what's going on?
They're activists, which could mean that, you know, they went out in the quad and waved some signs around, or you know, maybe they
read a book.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Scary. Speaking of scary, things are happening in France.
France moves to make companies block hate speech online. Wow. Good luck.
Yeah, good. Like, what? I mean, it's the only thing that must never, that must not be tolerated is intolerence, but...
I feel like it's just like, I sometimes read, like, those kind of articles, and I'm like, have these people not been on the internet from, like, the Wild Wild West days when, like, you can't get rid of stuff on the internet. Like, there's...
Because people are terrible?
Yeah, like, there's always going to be something terrible on the internet. And the goalposts will always move, but...
Speaking of terrible things on the internet...
Wendell, this is good news for you.
30,000 followers makes you an internet celebrity, says a UK ad
regulator.
Wendell,
you have like 60,000 followers on Twitter. You're a celebrity twice over, according to this.
I have to disclose things. I've never actually been paid to tweet anything, so.
Your Twitter is all your own. I think the level one has 50,000 followers, so that would also be.
Nice. I tweet a lot. People don't like to follow me.
You do.
You
tweet
follow
a lot.
Level one, and then it's like that's much more conservative.
Yeah, level one's usually like just major announcements, and like if we're running a contest or if we have new stuff in the store or like sometimes something funny that a fan sent us will get put on there. But
every now and again, I'll like my brain just stops working for a while, and it's like, oh, I need to tweet this. Today my toes don't seem as long as usual.
I licked doorknobs as a child. But he has, you know, 60,000 followers. This is actually a tax designation, correct?
Yes.
So, like, if you have a certain number of followers, you can get taxed differently.
That's crazy.
That'll probably come here eventually. And then you'll be taxed differently. You'll have another layer of weirdness in your taxes because
I'm
of that.
Pretty sure we'll all be affected by that.
Oh, not me.
Level one.
Yeah, but my personal Twitter account only has, like, 1,000 followers, so.
Yeah, I was just saying. 7-Eleven, Japanese customers lose $500,000 due to mobile app flaw. Now, this is a whole bunch of 7-Eleven customers. So this has to do, like, with 7-Eleven, you can use, it's almost like Western Union here in the U.S., where you can, like, if I need to send you $20 and you're, like, you're on the other side of the continent, I can just do that through 7-Eleven. Or, like, PayPal. And it turns out the password reset function on this was not great. And so it would use easily guessable information or information that appeared in different online databases. So it was really easy for criminals to do the forgot password thing and get access to people's accounts en masse and then siphon away lots of money. It took the 7-Eleven a day to shut it down. So about $500,000 in a day is not terrible, I guess, for criminals.
Yeah. Well, I watched a video about, like, people who, you know, work and live in Japan and stuff, and, like, these kind of convenience stores, like, people use these a lot. Yeah. Like, it's not like the U.S. where, like, you might just go in every now and then to get a snack on your way to work. Like, these people use them every day.
Yeah, the hacker only needed to know a 7Pay user's email address, date of birth, and phone number, but if they didn't know the date of birth, it would use January 1 of 2019 as their date of birth.
Oh.
So many New Year's babies. 7-Eleven has promised to compensate the hacked users, though. So
that's nice. Nice of them.
Maybe their insurance is going to cover it for $500,000. TechCrunch has got this article.
File storage app 4Shared caught serving invisible ads and making purchases without consent.
How cool is that? You have a file sharing application that has an invisible ad thing, so they're stealing money from an advertising company. But then also somehow they make it so that you purchase things through, like, installing an app, like you're going to install a paid app by redirecting what your clicks do. That's actually, like, I'm not even mad. That's actually, like, there's a lot of security to prevent you from doing that, and it took a long time for them to be caught. It's 100 million installs in this application, so that's pretty scary, really.
I had never heard of this app.
It's popular with 100
apparently,
million
yeah.
installs. So,
oh.
we got an ad blocker. So there was a couple other things we were going to show you, but it's fine.
I was like, oh, look, this one will let you out of it. It didn't actually. It was just like subscribe to our other thing, and I was like, don't. No.
Speaking of things that never get deleted,
Amazon Alexa keeps your data with no expiration date and shares it too. A U.S. senator asked questions, and Amazon provided answers you might not want to hear.
Yeah, there's a picture of the letter here. You should check out this article. If you haven't seen it. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, thanks for writing. You know, here you go. Users can delete some of it. Like, users can say, hey, delete stuff, and then that'll actually be deleted. But if some of the recordings or some of the asks have been flagged, or some of the asks go through third-party skills, like say that you install another skill on your Alexa, the person that made the skill could actually save that recording, and that would be somewhere else, and Amazon wouldn't really know. So some pretty scary answers there, really.
I feel vindicated every day that my mom didn't get an Alexa. And then I'll send her articles like this, and I'm like, she's like, oh, I'm so glad.
Speaking of Internet of Things gone wrong, security flaws in popular smart home hub let hackers unlock front doors. So if a hacker can get onto your Wi-Fi and sniff your home Wi-Fi long enough, they can unlock the door. So the door will actually use a salted hash for the password, but you can just send the hash to the doorknob and it will unlock it. So, like, you don't have to have somebody's password. You can just have the session where somebody's password was encrypted. And it's not, like, it doesn't have a temporal component to it. So, like, once you got that password hash, as long as they don't change their password, you can submit that password hash to the doorknob over and over again, and it will toggle the locking mechanism.
I do like whoever did the stock art for this. They actually went the extra mile and made this a GIF.
Nice.
Whoever, they're moving on up at TechCrunch. They're seeking that money. They're like, I want to be an editor. I don't want to just be a stock photo bitch.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably the editor who picks that. But
yeah, that's we'd sash eight into security in case you didn't figure that out.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it for this episode of the news. It's a short one because everybody in America was on vacation last week, and there wasn't really a lot of world news. And also,
the only country that matters is America.
maybe we missed something. Something terrible happened in Australia. What terrible things are they doing to you? It's like, oh, we're going to turn loose a bucket of scorpions at every school.
We didn't do a story about the gamer girl water.
Oh, the gamer girl. That
should be a nonsense, but we're not, you know, we're just not going to discuss it because it's gross. But anyway.
Get some new ideas for the Level 1
store.
Or check us out at Level 1, patreon.com/Level 1, I guess.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Bye.